You've just tuned into Beyond Your Past, part of the Mental Health News Radio Network. Welcome back to Beyond Your Past. I'm your host, Matt Pappas, certified life coach specializing in overcoming anxiety and trauma recovery. And this podcast is all about helping you move forward from what holds you back. Each week, you'll hear from coaches, clinicians, and advocates who've overcome tremendous odds and are now using their journey to inspire you throughout yours. This is your place to feel validated and encouraged as you take your life back and live free from your past. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hey, greetings, my friend, and thanks so much for taking some time out of your day to tune into the show, and I hope that this episode inspires and encourages you on your own journey. Special welcome if you're listening to the podcast for the very first time. I hope that you'll enjoy it and perhaps consider checking out some past episodes as well. And for those of you who are regular listeners, you guys all rock. You're amazing, and I always appreciate the support so much. A big shout out to my amazing sponsors, INLPCenter.org, offering world-class online neurolinguistic programming and life coach training to people in over 70 countries. I'm honored to be able to receive my certifications from INLP Center and utilize their research and incredible training programs. And to Daily Recovery Support, interactive daily group calls in a safe atmosphere for survivors of complex trauma, equipping you with the skills and information you can use every single day in your healing journey. Learn more about this affordable resource and get signed up at cptsdfoundation.org. If you find these podcasts helpful, please consider subscribing and leaving a review on your favorite podcasting app. That would be awesome. So today, my special guest on the podcast is business and archetype coach, Beth Martins. Beth is a two-time cancer survivor who has continuously beaten the odds throughout her entire life. While fighting for her very life and losing everything along the way, she finally had the breakthrough she needed to be able to find her life's purpose, and she's now turned that into being able to help others do the same. During our chat, Beth explains more about what archetypes are and how finding yours can help in aiding from trauma recovery and overcoming anxiety. We'll also talk about the importance of controlling our emotions in a healthy way and exploring our life's purpose and how helping others can make it so much more fulfilling. All this and much more during my chat with the incredible Beth Martins, starting right now. So, hey, Beth, welcome to Beyond Your Past. How are you?
Really good. Thank you so much for having me, Matt.
It is a pleasure to have you on the show here. I'm excited to learn more about your work and everything that we're going to talk about in terms of our emotions and anxiety and our past trauma and gaining wisdom about ourselves. And so before we get into all of that good stuff, though, why don't we take a minute? You can share more about your work and anything that you would like people to know about who you are.
Sure. It was inspired by, and no doubt we'll talk about this more, but I'm a cancer survivor. So when I faced my death nearly 20 years ago, it led me to working with archetypes. At the time, I was in my family's business. I was a vice president in their marketing firm. And so it gave me the excuse, if I needed one, apparently I needed one, to launch into business in a totally different way that was really listening to my authentic calling, following my life purpose, and being valued for that. So I've come full circle and now coach women on a process called releasing on their archetypes and also helping them build businesses. So that's the short answer.
Well, then that's a great answer too. And so, yeah, let's kind of dive into that. And for those who are not familiar with, tell us a little bit about exactly what is an archetype and how, and what does that have to do with anxiety and past trauma survivors?
Yeah. So archetypes are something that I discovered inside myself. If you're familiar or your listeners are familiar with the work of Carl Jung, that's where I first discovered about it on a more intellectual level. And when I was facing my death, I was a two-time cancer, being diagnosed with cancer. The second time I was told I wasn't going to survive. And it really pushed me up against the wall to go like, okay, it's time to face my mortality. And you know, am I here to save my body? I really got into like, no, this is actually about my soul. And then with, you know, almost magically, it was the year that Carolyn Mice published The Sacred Contract, which I highly recommend reading. And I worked through that like it was a full-time job. And literally, by awakening archetypes, I was able to save my life. Now, archetypes I define as both a spiritual and an emotional DNA. So just the way that the DNA of ourselves inform our body how to be, the archetypes inform our spirit and even our personality, because that's the most surface level that we're used to. Like when you do personality quizzes, it's reading archetypes. And so it's an energy that connects us not only to our own soul and our own soul's purpose, but it also connects us to all of humanity because it represents collective consciousness or collective unconsciousness, which is often the case too. And the reason it can be so amazingly powerful when it comes to working through the past, and especially with anxiety and trauma, is because it shows us where we have left parts of ourselves behind on our journey, where we have, you know, for example, when I was in business with my family, I was really trying to suppress the heck out of my rebel archetype that didn't even believe in money and the system and all that kind of stuff. I was trying to do all the right things and, you know, what society expected of me, my family expected of me. And, by suppressing an important aspect, I really lost so much energy. And then by awakening just one archetype, I went from being a dying person that tried everything to live to actually recovering and never having to look back. It was very powerful.
Wow, it sounds incredibly powerful. So once you realized what an archetype was, what you were leaving behind, how you were connecting to yourself, and how this was going to help your healing and your recovery, it had to be just unbelievably emotional, encouraging, powerful, exciting, like everything, right?
Yeah, it was terrifying. It was on the top of the list there because, you know, again, just literally facing, I was at the time 31, and I thought, okay, is this the end of my life? They're telling me I'm not going to survive. So coming to grips, you know, I think it's the Dalai Lama that said that until we face our death, we actually never live, which is kind of harsh, but very true. And so I was brought to that brink where you just literally surrender to that fact, because otherwise what happens is, and this is a huge source of anxiety as far as I'm concerned, that we are running from death all day long, even though we don't know it, we're actually really unconscious of it, because that fear of death is so intense, we don't want to face it. And we have no cultural context for it for the most part. You know, our worlds hide death off in palliative care and off in the graveyard, and people who lose, or face the end of their life can end up being like kind of shunned, believe it or not. That's a big part of that because everyone's so terrified. So did that answer your question?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I just think it's interesting because you're right. I mean, you're at this point in your life where, you know, doctors are telling you that you're not going to survive. All of a sudden you make this realization, you start down this road of exploring your spiritual and emotional side, seeing what you've left behind, seeing what you can connect with. And all of a sudden you go from someone who wasn't sure that they were going to live and having to face that mortality to now, as you said, healing and not looking back. It just sounds like after the terrifying experience, it had to be just something that continuously propels you. It just has to be such something to keep you going like every single day.
Yes, you got it, because it is a total victory on the other side of that terror, that every time I walk through that wall of fire, and the job's not done by any means. I did it to an extent where I could save my life, but this has become a constant project. And you're absolutely right there, you know, because somehow we should all learn in kindergarten that our emotional world isn't just happening to us and coming at us, and then we just have to contend with it, whatever mood arises, that somewhere we're actually creating our experience, our human experience. And so when you back it up to the level of archetypes and start paying attention at such a subtle level of that, you know, emotional, spiritual DNA, you gain mastery and you gain that sense of being the source of it. And it also very much connects you to your purpose, that you came to this planet in the first place, and there is nothing more inspiring and exciting than that, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. I mean, when you can get to where to a point in your life when you are truly living out your life's purpose, whatever that looks like for you, it just makes every day such a unique experience. And then you realize how long you've spent, or at least now I've done this, is I realized how long I spent doing things that I wasn't passionate about, I didn't really care that much about, or in the long term, to me at least, didn't really matter, or, you know, something that wasn't going to make a difference. And now while those situations or circumstances or events might have served a purpose for a time, and they did, getting to a point where you are living your life every day, doing what you are meant to do, is just, it makes your very existence, like, you know, getting up in the morning and going through your day and going to bed at night, just so much more rewarding and exciting, because it's a feeling of purpose, yes, but it's also this feeling of, okay, it's an anticipation of how much good can I do today? How many good things are going to happen today? Not, oh my God, what else is going to go wrong today? Oh my God, this day sucks. Everything's terrible kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Because we're going to struggle no matter what, you know, whether we don't follow our life purpose and just do what everybody else expects us to do, or what we expect ourselves to do, we're going to struggle. And then when you follow your life purpose, it takes on a whole new level of struggle, which I'm sure you're aware of. And it, you know, it really brings your shit up. So then you're going to struggle anyway. We may as well be struggling for the right reason that we came here. And I love what you said, because it truly is about being part of the fabric of humanity and helping others on their journeys. That's what our purpose is, you know, to evolve our own soul and be there for others while they do the same. So I love what you just said.
I'm the type of person that does love to help others. And I think being a trauma survivor, I know what it's like to have struggled for so long and to have that stuff hidden and suppressed and, you know, pushed down in the bottom of my mind, and then understand how it affected me in such a negative way for decades. Now, I mean, now I understand it, but for all that time, I had no idea it was affecting me. Or if I did, it was pushed so far down in my mind that I didn't even care, or I wasn't making the connection. And now that I have that connection, it really helps me relate to others, and it drives me forward to keep learning and keep trying to live out my life's purpose. So I love this finding whatever that is for you and running with it and helping others and making it special and unique, and really just living life every day, the fabric and the framework of humanity and where we fit in with that. So another question here that I had while you were talking is, so once we discover our life's purpose, or, you know, we have an idea of how to start going about finding our life's purpose, how is that instrumental in healing from a past, especially as a trauma survivor?
Well, it creates, to me, the most important measure that we're not really taught at all to look at, and this was the clincher when it came to trying to save my life from cancer, was that, you know, there are certain things in life that we do, and it's not really just about doing. So I'll talk about this after. I don't want to oversimplify it, but, you know, we know when we're losing energy and we know when we're gaining energy. That's clear. Like, you have a conversation and you walk away and you can barely, like, pick yourself up off the floor and there's a low mood and you need to go recover. And then you have a conversation with somebody else and you have more energy, you feel more alive, you're, like, excited. So it gives you that, they're kind of like breadcrumbs along the way, because, you know, the life purpose, really, if you look back at it, it's just a series of, like, millions of little steps that we took. And some of them gave us energy and that were really attuned with us and in alignment with what we're supposed to be doing here. And the other things are, you know, that loss of energy is there to show us, like, oh, actually, you're kind of off path here. This is not what you're meant to be doing, if you want to put it in that language. So that, you know, when it comes to healing from the past traumas, when you tune in with your purpose to be, right, like, it takes on a whole new level of meaning. And really what it ends up being, like, I have a special client that I've worked with for some time who is a survivor of very severe abuse, intense abuse. The biggest traumas are actually unimaginable. I can't say and won't say anything about it because I don't want to traumatize your listeners. But, you know, she gets to a certain level of healing, and number one, her energy is like Mother Mary, you know, and I'm not religious at all or Catholic. like really high, beautiful energy, incredible for based on what she's been through. That's heroic that she could just show up in the world and be such a beautiful being. But then, lo and behold, she wants to turn around and help others, right? So if you have that trauma in your background, it really, you only have one of two choices. One is to wake up, heal, and allow yourself to be called on the journey to help others, or you go into like bitterness, darkness, despair, numbing out is inevitable because of all that pain that has to be suppressed. And then so, you know, by making that commitment to heal and dig in and see where you are losing energy, then inevitably you're tapping your life purpose.
Especially for trauma survivors, when you get to a point where you realize how much you've been struggling and you see how much better life is now. And obviously, you know, we're not saying that it's perfect, right? I mean, as you mentioned, we're always going to struggle. There's always going to be things that come up and challenges and whatnot. So it's not that we are suddenly going from constantly struggling to everything's perfect, but we find a way to enjoy life more. We have healthier coping skills. We are in touch with our emotions and our spiritual side. We have all these healthy strategies in our life that we didn't have. And so it makes helping others so much more important because you know what it's like to be at where they are. And that's, and you know, again, it's not that we all ever have it all figured out or that everything's hunky dory, you know, 100% of the time, but understanding that as you discover your life's purpose, you come to a place where helping people becomes so much more important. So yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's often the case, I think, then, you know, when we've got a lot of crap behind us and we move forward, we want to stay forward looking and forward moving. And, you know, that's good, but we also don't do what you said and give ourselves credit for how far we have actually come. And that's where all the gold is when it comes to turning around and helping others, because once you've overcome a certain level or layer, then you know the road, you know the map, you know how to show somebody else how to get there. So that's where looking back can actually be really, you know, when you talk about like getting away from your past, it's actually can be very much going into your past to do that.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah. And you're right. I mean, you have to go back, explore those memories and sit with them and learn from them and accept what's happened. I'm always very careful whenever I use the word accept what's happened, because that can sometimes mean yet kind of confused or construed that we are being accepting of what happened in terms of being okay with it, which is not the case. We are accepting that something happened, a very traumatic past. It affected us in a multitude of ways, but we've also learned that we can't change it anymore. And if you can't change it, then why dwell on it? So you explore it, you learn from it, and then you use it to your advantage moving forward, which is something I always try and teach with, you know, in my own life, obviously, but also with clients. And so as we learn to explore our life's purpose and we're learning about this, how do we learn to control our emotions in a healthy way when we might have been spending our entire life in a very unhealthy coping strategy situation?
Yeah, exactly. So I won't use this word, like our sort of knee-jerk reflex reaction to emotions is to suppress them. And especially, of course, the ones we don't like, which is mostly all of them. And so then that's our just, you know, it's really recognizing myself what an incredibly deep ingrained habit that was a lifetime, you know, and God bless anybody who taught me this. It's not that they're wrong. They're just following what they were taught. But it's, you know, shut up or I'll give you something to cry about. And, you know, oh, you hurt? Let me make that better for you so you don't have that pain anymore. Or, you know, let me give you a hug so you don't cry. Or, you know, so we were in a world that was always trying to take that emotion away from us. And its intention is actually right, because it's like we want to help others and put them at ease, of course. But in the process, we end up not allowing somebody to have the feelings that they have. And this is something that I really woke up to a few years ago, is that like our human experience, which includes our thoughts, our feelings, and all of the programs that are like a mix of all the thoughts and feelings, They really are here for one purpose and one purpose only. They are a door to freedom, right? And so what happens is that we're either avoiding that door like the plague, because it means we have to feel that apathy, sadness, fear, you know, anger, pride, whatever it is, or we get stuck in the door and we live perpetually in those feelings. So like we all know those people that are just, you know, always angry or always sad or always depressed. And so we just haven't been taught, you know, it's just a little tweak to go, okay, like this is a door. If I go all the way through it to the other side and see it for what it really truly is, because when you're looking on one side of the door, those emotions, they appear to be like a firewall, right? And when you get to the other side completely, then you look back and you go, oh, actually wasn't a firewall and I didn't die by going through it. And here I am with more energy and, a lightness that I couldn't have imagined when I really went through that feeling. Then to me, that's like a major victory. One huge breakthrough that I had was, it was just before my father passed away in 2015 when I started to do a practice, a very specific practice in releasing, which I had done lots of releasing practices. And in fact, working with archetypes is an emotional release practice for sure. But this particular practice got into the unconscious roots and programs that operate underneath all of our feelings. And it was the work of Lester Levinson, which I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's not really famous at all. You'd have to just dig around to look for his talks and stuff. Not to say he's the be-all and end-all, but he came up with a system for looking at feelings without being so traumatized by them over again, because that's what every trauma person, trauma survivor faces, is being re-traumatized, right, by letting those feelings come up and over them. And so by looking at the programs that exist underneath the feelings and taking them out at that level, like number one, they're more intense, but the magic is that they are not connected with memories. So they don't send us down this like big long rabbit hole of all of this, oh, it happened here and it happened there, and you know, because like we really get into our own rat trap that way and can stay on a loop with the emotion rather than going through it. And so this system that I learned of recognizing the unconscious program under the feelings makes it incredibly simple. And then you also, when you do let go of those programs, you let go of all the feelings that are on top of them. And you actually, like it's a process of getting high, really, like a very natural high, because you take such a huge energy leap every time you let go at the level of those programs. And you go like, wow, okay, there I am. You know, see yourself clearly, see a situation clearly, see your past clearly with eyes wide open, right? It's never about, I love what you said about acceptance. It's never about like, oh, you know, love your perpetrator or all that kind of, you know, new age crap that's going on out there. Sorry to say it, but, so we can gain more mastery over our feelings by going into the unconscious programs that hold them in place underneath. And that's why, you know, people will go, oh, I thought I let this anger go. I thought I was past this. I thought I was already, you know, there's two reasons for that, but that's definitely one of them, is because the roots stay in place. And, you know, so then it becomes a gift, and in the very best moments that I have, it becomes such a huge gift that my stuff comes up. And this is what, to me, relates back to our purpose to be on this planet in the first place, is that when you take that risk, because really it's the scariest thing ever to fulfill on what you promised yourself that you're going to do on this earth. What, you know, we none of us have a clue what our big promise to ourselves was, for the most part. It unfolds and gets revealed, and sometimes bit by bit. But you know, when we call that in, when we call that level of freedom and commitment to ourselves in, it really does bring everything that's not that up, right? So it becomes a game of freedom rather than a game of, just trying to handle and manage and, you know, make sure like those feelings don't stop you from living your life. It becomes like, okay, I'm going for real freedom here. And there's nothing that's going to stand in my way. Not a feeling, not a program, not a thought, not a person. So it all becomes food for that freedom, really. To me, that's the healthiest way to look at emotions.
Yeah, and something interesting that you shared about the whole or about the doorway. And for me, I kind of felt like I wasn't just either standing at the door, you know, afraid to go in or at the door trying to figure it all out. I was kind of back and forth in the doorway and then backing out before I finally got to a point where I was able to, you know, to work through everything and use radical acceptance and you know, get to that point of feeling a lot more free. Did you experience that as well? Or maybe can you talk about that as far as because I love the doorway analogy, because I wrote a blog post a couple of years ago about standing at the doorway of fear and hope and trying to figure out what that meant. And, you know, I'm scared to death to walk through the doorway because there's hope up there. But what does that look like? And, you know, it's much more comfortable to stay out of the doorway kind of thing. So,
yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right that that we get to that. It can really perpetuate that we go and we look in the door, but we only want to go so far because it can be, you know, from personal experience, and it's not to like scare anybody, but there are feelings I went through that I literally felt like it was going to set me on fire. You know, I thought like, I can't do mm-hmm. this. And I work with a coach myself to take me through some of those darker alleys. Because sometimes we can't take ourselves, and I think you know that well, having the clients that work with you. So yeah, the like go in, stick your toe in, go like, nope, it's not, you know, it's not there, or I'll just suppress that again, or oh, I dealt with it because I put my toe in it. And but there will again come that moment where you are so determined to have freedom that it's worth it. And also, you know, it's not, the job's not done and it's not perfect, but I've been on fire so many times and come out the other side completely unscathed. And I get to see it for what it all is, like smoke and mirrors. Mm-hmm. These are programs. These are, you know, and very, very conveniently placed programs, because if people are terrified to go into their feelings, then they get to stay stuck perpetually, right? That's how people are, you know, I'm sure you're aware of this, like trauma-based control, mind control, right? That's what they bank on, that every time we stick our toe into that experience, we head for the hills so that we stay in that loop and that pattern that allows us to be controlled by somebody else.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And that feeling of being controlled is familiar. And so when you're uncomfortable or in a situation where you're out of your comfort zone, you default to what's familiar, what you know. You know, I mean, regardless of the fact of whether it's healthy or not, you know, that's what you do. And of course, especially with the clients that I work with around anxiety, you know, it's like, as soon as you start to feel anxious, the first thing you do is go back to what you know, even though that's not serving you anymore. And it's keeping you stuck. It's what you do because it's safe and it's familiar. And so it's dipping that toe in and then not being afraid to maybe, you know, put your whole foot in and then up to your knee and kind of wait in a little bit more and see that, you know, as you mentioned, it's a lot of smoke and mirrors, and that the fear of the fire is worse than the fire itself, usually at least. And so we find that, you know, it's so scary to try and break through and, you know, confront those feelings and see what's on the other side. But when you do, and obviously it's not easy and it takes time, but when you do, that feeling of freedom is just like, oh my God, you know, why didn't I do this sooner? And I mean, it takes a long time to get there, but when this kind of comes full circle to that feeling of freedom and, you know, being and living your life's purpose. Cause you're like, I've been held back for so long by all this mind control and being mind screwed by my abuser and my past and all these old unhealthy coping, strategies. And now I'm like, life is so much different and there's so much to look forward to, because I know that even when I do struggle, it's not going to keep me set back and stuck for as long as it used to anymore.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Yeah. Like, you know, I think that the biggest thing, and this actually never happens anymore because there's so much experience that you know, one time I went in and I got connected with a fear of mine, and I did cry for a couple of weeks. You know, like it opened such a big door that there was just lots to, you know, it's like literally hitting a wound that's been abscessing and it's got to drain, right? Mm-hmm. But when, again, looking back, crying for a couple of weeks, not that big a deal. Nobody died. No, I didn't go broke. I didn't, you know, nothing wrong happened. It was nothing but healing. It was nothing but a raising of energy. So it's really a hopeful thing when you see, when you look back and you go, yeah, like, wow, look at this. One thing I was also hearing you say, like, it can definitely take a lot of time to get to that place, but the actual release is almost instantaneous, and what it can mm-hmm. take time, you know, what it can take time to get to, and it doesn't have to, is to get to that place of decision where you know, you step out of whether it's the victim mode that, like, you know, this happened to me and I can't do anything about it and I have no control over it. But that moment of decision where we just go, like, okay, I don't care what it takes, I'm doing this. And then it can be so fast, it's like, it's shocking once that decision is in place.
Yeah, it really is. You're right. Because when you have that kind of light bulb moment or that realization, and then you see how much you were living in the past and being holding on to those old mind screwing strategies, for lack of a better term, and how long it kept you stuck, that realization does happen. And when it does, it's like you feel like the weight of the world just came off your shoulders. And while the work ahead may still involve, you know, difficult memories and stuff, that initial feeling is something that you hold on to, and you're like, oh my God, I want more of this. Like, I can remember sitting in a therapist's office having many of those light bulb moments, going, holy shit. Like, everything just made sense about why I've had so many self-esteem problems, or problems with, you know, food over the years, or problems with my self-confidence, or, you know, you name it, whatever it was. And having those little, every time you have one of those moments, you know, you have more confidence, you step further out of the doorway into exploring more. And that's the kind of freeing, ongoing kind of roller coaster effect of being pushed forward by trying to explore and find more of those feelings and find out what, or, you know, how much different life can be from where you've been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you totally got it. And I like your comment about that, you know, like the safety of when we're, even though maybe you're plagued with anxiety every day, but there's a certain like comfort and safety in it. Mm-hmm. When you turn around and decide on your freedom, like, that's it, I don't care how or what it takes or how long it takes, then that, you know, that safety and that familiarity doesn't actually, because it's an illusion, right? There's no safety in it. It's just that what you know. And it comes to a point that comfort, that so-called safety, will actually cause more pain than moving forward does. So to me, that's a real turnaround point, when somebody's, like, freedom is literally pulling them rather than them just running away from their path.
Yeah, I could not agree more. And I just, I love how you're phrasing this. I love, you know, the whole analogy of the doorway and the freedom and being pushed forward, and just understanding how much we suffered for so long, you know, for years, for decades, and how freeing it is to be able to kind of take your life back, or, you know, take your power back, however you want to phrase it. So, like, I guess one of the last things before we wrap it up here is, like, there's so much going on in this world today, obviously, with the political climate, religious climate, wars. I mean, everything that's happening right now. And is it possible, I guess, or maybe talk a little bit about your thoughts on, if more and more people are able to, or if we are heading in that trend of more of us trying to find a more peaceful, freeing existence and kind of get in touch with that energy. You know, because I think obviously the more of us that can do it, the better, but I'm curious to your take as if we're kind of trending in that direction in this day and age.
Yeah. It's like, we're going in both directions. If you look at the planet as a whole, right, the light's getting lighter and the dark is getting darker. And a lot more of the dark has come up and out from the shadows. And, you know, we're seeing a lot more of it in the mainstream, although so much of the mainstream is really skewed and engineered in terms of the information we're getting. But that's basically how it works, as above, so below. So and even within one's own personal journey, the more freedom you gain, the more you're going to be called to look at the deeper and the darker within yourself, which actually is connected to all of humanity. So to me, it's like, and I'll waver on this, you know, definitely go up and down, but overall, I feel incredibly hopeful for those of humanity that are, you know, again, making that decision for their own freedom. And that's where I feel like I can be of service, and no doubt where you are being of service, because at the end of the day, it's all free will, right? We cannot decide on behalf of humanity or any member of it how their journey is going to go, how long it's going to take, how many lifetimes they're going to take to start really taking their freedom seriously. But we can, you know, to me, what's hopeful is that we can evolve and raise a soul. And that's kind of the beauty of being in these very dark times, is they're incredibly motivating, right? Like, unless you want to be on fire with fear and anxiety all day, then you reach for those things that get you through the doors. And, you know, I don't think I would be anywhere near where I feel like I'm at right now if I hadn't opened my eyes to the, like, absolute corruption and abuse and, you know, like, psychopathic leadership that this planet has. if I didn't look that in the face and see it for what it was, then I wouldn't have had to grow in those ways and see how strong I am, that actually I can look at these things, I can hear what my client's been through, and I can feel compassion for her, and then I can go off and heal myself of that vicarious trauma. And now I can look at those things, not feel it, but it's not, doesn't like send me into devastation and crying on the floor and being useless to everyone. It ends up giving me more fire and more fuel for helping the people in my life, you know, get through their doors and also be valued for their life purpose. Because if we all did that, like what you are, see how you're helping people. If we all did that, then that would be like a total game changer on this planet. So that's why I feel that mission to, you know, if somebody has the will for freedom and to be valued for their purpose, then I'm here for them. So does that answer your question?
It absolutely does. That's an incredible way to wrap up this podcast. Everything you said was so inspiring. And I'm so glad that we were able to talk about this today, to share this, and especially to really kind of dive into here towards the end a little bit about walking through that doorway and having that freeing, you know, feeling and understanding the climate today all across the world. And as you mentioned, you know, the dark is getting darker and light's getting lighter, and realizing that, you know, we have spent a lot of time in the dark, and that it's a very motivating thing for us to not get bogged down and get stuck and to get caught up in the things, but to use our voice and our life for, you know, for to help others and to help institute the change that we want to see, the change that we've done in our own lives. And so I love what you're saying, Beth. I think it's incredible. And I'd love for you to be able to share where people can learn more about you if they would like to work with you or learn more about any books or courses or programs you have. That would be great.
Mm-hmm, for sure. So you could visit my website, bethmartins.com. It's just BETHMARTENS. And right now there's a free training up on an archetype that's called the Nature Child, a universal archetype that we all have. And it's really about that, those moments in life where you allow yourself to look up and see, you know, whether it's the devastation of our environment or the, you know, what you've really been through in your past, in your relationship, being an element of nature on this planet, and working through that archetype so that you can transform betrayal and denial into an actual sustainable path for being of service to others. So this is a free 75-minute audio that's at my website. And all you have to do is go to bethmartins.com/naturechild, all one word. We'll bring you direct to that, and you get access to it. Also coming up in the new year, I have a course called the Merpreneur's Journey. So we didn't get much into merpreneurs, but they are those that really want to go deep, you know, that have gone deep. Life has called them, whether it's through traumas or, you know, whatever life has called us to heal from, and then we come out the other side really wanting to serve others and help them. And so the Merpreneur's Journey is like an archetype map that really is the value of the life purpose, and it simplifies it. So, you know, for me, I've gone my whole life in a kind of, you know, like just running by inspiration and like a bit of a fog, you hit a wall, but I persevere and I push through. This is a map that was revealed to me that is based on, you know, the fact that not only do we have these individual archetypes, but the journey of life itself is archetypal. It is the hero's journey. We are all heroes in our journey if we accept the call. So this course coming up in the new year is a great one to look into. And if you're interested in that, you can also check that out on my website. It's called The Merpreneur's Journey.
Well, I think that's a great reason for us to bring you back on the show to dive into that topic more.
Super fun. I've actually never been more excited about anything in my work in the past as I am about this. So one other thing is also I'm a musician. So if anybody wants to check out iTunes, Beth Martin's, I've got 4 CDs up there. So that's another way to get a little window into what I'm up to, or stream it off Spotify, whatever your music of choice is.
That is so awesome. Yes, I will put all that in the show notes. I will put all that in the blog post. Beth, this has been incredible. I would love to bring you back later in 2019, and we can discuss more about this new course and how it's going, and we can dive more in to everything that we didn't get to talk about today.
Likewise, really, it's an honor to be in your program, and I'm so glad you're out there being present for these people that obviously find value in your life purpose. So thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Beyond Your Past, part of the Mental Health News Radio Network. Information shared on this podcast is intended for educational and informational purposes only and is not a substitute for or supersedes professional medical help or mental health counseling. Thank you again to my sponsors, INLPCenter.org and Daily Recovery Support. I hope you'll consider checking them out as they've joined forces to help keep the lights on here at the podcast and help Beyond Your Past reach as many as possible with a message of hope. If you'd like to learn more about working with me as your coach, or if you're curious about what life coaching is and how it might be right for you, then head on over to beyondyourpast.com and claim your free 1-hour session, where we can talk about the struggles in your life in the areas of anxiety and trauma recovery and see if coaching might be a great fit for you. Thanks again for listening, and I do hope that you'll subscribe to the podcast, leave a review, and share it with all your friends. See you next time.